meeting of the Cali County Commission to order. First item, roll call, Karen.
Chairman Bob Bailey.
Here.
Vice Chairman Wingo.
Here.
Commissioner Allenburg.
Here.
Next, the indication, we bow our heads, please. Lord, be with us today as we make decisions for the county and all the people involved. Also be with all the veterans, all the people in the military. Bring them back safe. Amen. Presentation by department, extension office, making a difference. You're all by yourself.
I'm all by myself today.
Or be short then.
It is gonna be short. I have a lot of info, but I'm not gonna tell you all of it. I'm just gonna tell you some of it. So we actually have a lot of info to share because we didn't come and see you earlier this summer. It just didn't work out with our schedule and yours. We had planned on, but some changes had to be made. So that's why the papers you get are a lot more full than they usually are. And I'm here by myself today because we no longer have Elizabeth. She has transitioned to another position. And her last day with us was September 20th. And Becky, our VAX agent, is at a training for, it's a required training for our SNAP Ed program. So a grant-funded program that she works with. But just to start out there on the front page, we have a culture of health grant that Becky has been working with. Part of that grant was to offer mental health first aid training in our county. So Becky went and was trained to be a trainer, and we actually held our first mental health first aid training in mid-August this year. We had several people from different departments throughout the county. All of our staff participated in that as well, and it's just something that with events that have happened in the last year, we had heard from different groups in the community that it was a needed thing as well. So that's something that we worked on, and it was a really insightful training and really leaves you to think about how you phrase things, how you interact with people, and the impact that it has on our communities. Another part of that, Becky was incredibly busy this summer with what we call the POP Club, and that's the Power of the Purse. And what that is activities that were done at the farmers markets to teach kids about healthy living. The kids, when they participated in the program, then they received a pop-up, it was a voucher essentially, that they could then use at the farmers market. And so that was to encourage more consumption of fruits and vegetables. And so there's a picture there on your third page about the Power of the Produce. They had 243 total kids throughout the summer that participated, and they earned 472 pop bucks. And then those vendors were reimbursed for the pop bucks through that grant. So I'm gonna back up just a little bit to the backside of your front page, the ag page. Lots of things going on. They had a wheat pre-plant meeting. We partner with Sumner County on that. That was held in Oxford in mid-August. And then the Farm Bill is changing. If you don't already know that, you should. Several years ago, Extension partnered with the Farm Management Service, and we offered a decision-making tool to producers. So there's a spreadsheet put together that producers can come in and put their information in to determine which way they're going to elect to go with the Farm Bill. Some changes have happened, and we actually have been in communication with the Farm Service Agency, and Kent Miller has contacted us about offering that to producers again. So we will be offering that. We don't have any further information at this time, but with the change in the Farm Bill, Elizabeth did take several people to that meeting in Sedgwick County, and then I'll be working with Kent moving forward on that. Like I said, Becky's been doing a lot to enhance community health. She worked with the AmeriCorps VISTA volunteer program this summer, and we housed a VISTA volunteer who worked with our local farmers markets. The original intention for that was to get the SNAP EBT going with the farmers markets. That proved to be a little more difficult task than was originally thought. So It didn't quite pan out, but we did have an extra volunteer working with our farmers markets and really helped to enhance and expand those markets. 4-H is always busy through the summer. We had 4-H camp at the beginning of the summer, but the majority of our summer was really taking up with picking up after the flood. So, of course, we had to originally evacuate the food stand in May. We came back out after the first flood and cleaned everything. Of course, it flooded two other times. So we had a lot of cleanup to do. 4-H was really just responsible for the 4-H food stand. But there was a great partnership between the city and Extension and 4-H to get all that effort done. So we repainted everything, we cleaned everything, and it was a big effort to really make the fair happen. So we appreciate the partnership that we had with the city and with our volunteers to get things done. The Science of Ag Challenge was something that was new for our county last year. We had three youth participate in it, and they actually went on to win the state contest. And what that is an opportunity for them to look at a problem within the agriculture community and identify a solution for that. So last year was our inaugural year in Kansas. This is our second year. Our kids won the competition last year, and each of them got a $1,000 scholarship. So they decided to expand on they are looking at fly control and the economic impact. So they've expanded on that this year, and they've actually talked with more producers. They sent out a survey to look a little bit more in depth about the economic impact there. This year, Winfield School District went to a late start day once a month, which we identified, and so did the Winfield Rec and Arts and Humanities and the library, as a potential problem for Winfield families with getting kids to school at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we partnered with Winfield Rec to offer what we call Smart Start. So those kids can arrive at Winfield Recreation Center at, well, I believe, as early as 7:15. We start about 7:45, 7:50. We provide breakfast and we provide activities, educational and hands-on activities for those kids. So we did our first one in September. We'll do our next one next week, which actually happens to be during National 4-H Week too, so that works out really well for us. And of course, we had the Cali County Fair and the Kansas State Fair, and it's October now. So we kind of ran through our summer and ran through the first month of school, and we're ready to go with the new 4-H year. Today is the first day of the new 4-H year. So, questions?
Are you going to replace Elizabeth?
Yes, so our board meeting is actually tonight, and we'll look at our options there. But our intention is to still run fully staffed with three agents. So we got to look at what that looks like for us. And the timeline of the way that hiring process works, because it does come down through K-State, can be a little lengthy. And with the way the university shuts down over the holidays, I can assure you we won't have someone before Christmas.
So they pick your replacement?
Do what?
They pick your replacement?
So the applicants apply to K-State. K-State goes through to find the ones that actually fit the description. And they send us 3 to 5 to interview. Mm-hmm. And then our board makes the final decision.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Nothing further.
Thank you.
Chelsea.
Yes.
Next minute, September 17th, 19 regular Cali County Commission meeting. Any additions or corrections?
So I think we would move to approve the minutes as presented.
Second. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Citizens be heard. Anybody? Amen. Item of business. Consider approval of reappointment of at-large CDO advisory board member Bob Matthews, Victoria Berry, for a 3-year term beginning January 1, 20 and ending December 31st, 2023. Linda?
Good morning. Both of these board members have long history with our advisory board, inaugural members since 2009. Both have indicated a willingness to serve another 3-year term, and I think they bring a lot of historical information as well as current information to the board. So many of you are probably familiar with both of them. Bob brings years on several boards and a financial background, and Victoria, a social work background, long history in long-term care and works currently at the Ark City Hospital. So I ask for that.
They're both willing. They're both willing to.
They are.
That's good.
I know.
Move to reappoint at-large CDA advisory board members Bob Matthews and Victoria Berry for a 3-year term beginning January 1st, 20 and ending December 31st, 2030.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Consider approval of local finance plan for CDO. Linda again.
Okay, so we have a current plan which outlines kind of how we expect to spend both the state aid funds that come from the state, approximately $46,904, and the money that you allocate to us, $90,000. It's been really heavy on transportation subsidy for the last 20 plus years. And so in speaking with Lucas, I really wanted to bring this forward to you in maybe a little more detail. The larger providers might be a little concerned with the decrease in the transportation subsidy, but I'll give you kind of the why I think we need to go this broader route. So we report to first state aid. We report to the state aid recorder how we use it, and there are very distinct categories that we're allowed to expend those funds on. Tell you that we expect in this fiscal year that started July 1 that the majority of those funds are going to go for direct service. That's somebody getting an individual getting a day or a residential service, more than one person, but probably not more than two because it's a pretty small amount of money. And I listed in the plan kind of the other common categories. So I indicated in the past that the transportation subsidy was pretty heavily funded. And the other area was kind of this wide open individual needs, and people applied for what it was that they needed. I've asked to continue a transportation subsidy, so those providers that provide transportation to these individuals to get around, it's very specialized transportation, general public can't meet all of those needs. Medicaid ineligible case management is a service that a case manager helps these new to our eligibility get through this cumbersome system. And I need to back up a second. I'm trying with outreach to get people to come to our department to be determined eligible at a younger age than we saw previously. What we saw previously is people would graduate from high school, graduate to what I would call the couch, which is no service. They're on a waiting list for 8 years for Medicaid waiver funding once they're determined eligible. So if you're not coming to our office till you're 18 or 21, you're waiting till you're 28, 30. So if we're bringing them in at 5 to 8 years old and they wait for 8 years, they're going to be hopefully at the top of that waiting list for funding by the time they graduate from high school. But what are we doing for the people who are on the waiting list? And so that's where the rest of these categories come in. If I get them to come and be determined eligible sooner, they have needs. They have a lot of needs, and they're not being met, and they're falling through the cracks. So some of these other categories are to help. So there's a personal needs category. There is a direct service category. So people who don't meet crisis definition to kind of jump to the head of the waiting list line, we have to be able to sometimes provide a day service or a residential service to those folks. Case management subsidy. Case management rates haven't changed in, 15 years, and we just had one of our large providers decide they're no longer going to provide case management, so we're down to 3 providers for case management, and it's a losing proposition. So when I sent this to the providers for feedback, they said, is there any way you can do a case management subsidy? So I carved out a piece to try to help offset that loss, because now 3 of them are absorbing it instead of 4. That's kind of the high level overview. I wanted to be sure that you had, the, you know, obviously I'm coming here for approval, but also an understanding that it's not just trying to take money out of one pocket, transportation, and do nothing worthwhile with it, but it's to cover a wider range of needs than just transportation. And we do have some KDOT, you know, a couple of the providers have opportunities to apply through KDOT, so they may be able to go there. Are there questions for me?
I have a comment, Linda. I give you kudos for you. You've done a wonderful job in splitting this off and taking care of these people when there is an 8-year waiting list. I mean, I'm very pleased at what you've done with the department.
Thank you. I have a team.
I realize that.
They're
I would move to approve local finance plan for 2020 as presented.
And moving second, approve finance plan for 2020. So everybody in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passed.
Thank you, Linda.
Congratulations. Consider approval of the Crestwell Township to adjust gaming order.
I can speak on it too.
The township requested it. I'm not sure if the word is degate or ungate, but we had gated the road. Now they're asking us to ungate it or degate it. So that's what the notice is.
How long ago was it? It was a long time ago.
In 1990. 99. That gate was put up in 99.
Dick Gerald and Margie were on board.
So, who wants to speak to this? Township first?
Yes.
Randy?
We just felt as a board that being a public road, 111th to 262, I believe it is.
121st.
111th is north and south. I believe 262 is west. I believe that's the number one. But with that being a public road, and we have to maintain it, gravel it, and everything, and it's not open to the public, I can't hardly justify the rest of the township paying taxes to have that road for two or three people to run down it. And I believe we put in that letter, if it wasn't ungated, we'd like to see it put a minimum maintenance road also. I mean,
it's
one or the other.
It's 121st, isn't it?
Huh?
Our deal shows 121st road. Right? 121st road.
It's 111th, and then I believe 262, I believe, goes west.
I'm going to pull it up.
Is it what?
It says 121st here.
Our map shows 121st.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Yeah. 266 and then 267.
Right there by the old feedlot.
Oh, I got
it. It's the old feedlot road.
Goes north.
Go up
to
the feedlot and then you go west. But anyway, there's a mile and a half there that nobody runs on but two or three people. And we'd like to either see it ungated or to the public.
Didn't we? I mean, I'm sure they gated it for the reason of kids and stuff going up there and dumping trash.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to do? I mean, do you want to ungate the thing?
No. No, there's quite a history of trouble up there. That's why it was gated.
I mean, in that area, I'm sure that's why it was gated.
It's right. Dangerous, actually, with that old mill up there. The people who are going to tear it down are even concerned how they'll tear it down without somebody getting hurt. And then you got people just wandering around, killing it up. There were kids and the trash.
So, Randy, you're the one, your board is wanting it open so you can work on the road, or what?
Well, I mean, we have to maintain it, and we'd like to either see it ungated or made a minimum maintenance road.
Isn't it?
I believe we put that in there.
To what, Mike?
I think it's classified now as minimum maintenance. It only gets run, to my knowledge, when I ask it to be run. Yeah, they go mow it when I ask them to mow it. That's usually once, sometimes twice a year.
Your township mows?
They got a great mower.
I was going to say, I ain't heard of one that's got a mower yet until now.
I wish our township did.
They do it when I ask.
Mark, what is the requirement for minimum maintenance?
We just say so.
But does that require like 2 times a year or
no.
once a year? Just
do you not have a key to that gate, Randy? So when no, the no. blade
the
does
the grader man does, yeah.
What's wrong with doing that now, just to do it? So
is well, the whole deal of it is when we've got that, all that distance and we have to gravel it, I mean, nobody gets...
You can't leave the gate open while you gravel it, maintain
well,
it, and
yeah,
shut it when you leave?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I can't see the rest of the township paying the tax money for... That's what our board decided, paying for a mile and a half of gravel, and nobody gets to use it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, landowners.
Well, that's it. I mean... Two people.
We can't landlock people, correct, Mark?
Right, we can't landlock
them. That's the reason that's gated and the landowners have keys, am I correct?
Probably so, back in the day. The saying that only two people use our road is not right. We have transports that come in there possibly 10 times at least a year. We have service units that have to come in there to work on the wells that are on top of those hills, and just to say two people, that's just not right.
So we still have to have the road open for people to get in there. So if we made it officially a minimum maintenance road, that would let us, you guys, do what you need to do. But I see where you're coming from, but still, if it's minimum maintenance, then it has to have some gravel. And granted, it's not going to be as good as what the other roads in the township are, being a minimum maintenance. But I would say just make it a minimum maintenance road. And the gate stay there. But has everybody got keys that need it now? Is it operating basically the way it should with keys and everything? Because you guys don't want the gate, I understand that, because all you have is trash back in there. That's what it was before. So,
Mr. Chairman, can I speak?
Yes.
I feel we're personally the voice of the people, and if the people want the thing closed to keep trash from going in there, I completely understand why it was gated. For convenience of the township being able to access it, I see their cause also. But my personal opinion is to leave the thing gated and people that have it, just leave it alone. Yeah, it's an inconvenience for the township to do what they're doing, but I think you're gonna have all kinds of trouble if you open that old road up again. What do you guys think about that? Because that is a dead end road down there, right, Randy? I mean, once you get down to the feedlot, what are the transports for? The oil
yes.
leases down there?
Service units. You know, there's wells out there that have to have trucks come in, water trucks.
I feel you're gonna have a huge amount of, not a huge amount, but you will have people going down in there dumping stuff, vandalism. You know what I mean?
That's what we've had in the past. I've had two gates not just driven through a year before this was done. Before the gate hit, cattle under the fences, people riding up the patch. It was trouble, and this gate solved all that.
So we have on here move to set public date for hearing, but we don't need that, right?
Not unless you want to hear a public hearing. If you don't choose not to, then you don't.
2 weeks. I shoot from the hip here, as I recall, that they would need to make a request of us to declare it minimum maintenance.
I thought it was
and
in
then
that
we,
back.
And then we would
you have the letter.
The letters in the packet.
Yeah. Yeah.
They to gate it or declare it minimum maintenance.
Yeah, that's what the letter said.
Yeah. We didn't, in our notice, didn't say anything about minimum maintenance. I don't believe that we. I think all we said was the issue will be gated.
Ungated.
Yeah.
But the township maintains it and gravels it now. But the people want to leave it alone. the citizens that use the road, correct, and land. Do you guys have land down there?
Yeah.
Yes.
You want to leave it alone with a gate in it?
I think what Randy's wanting to do is declare the minimum maintenance road.
For his convenience to get in.
And cut expenses.
Cut expenses.
Right. The big part.
Can we declare the minimum maintenance now, or do we have to redo it?
I would rather we publish notice. I'm shooting from the hip, Mr. Chairman, but I think we've got to publish on that.
I'm not sure that it's not already declared.
It's
we might check.
It's not. It's not, they say. In the records, it's not.
I didn't know that.
No, it just says in the record that it's gated.
So if we make it a minimum maintenance road, do we leave it at the gate or take it down?
We leave the gate.
Okay. I'm okay.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I asked, if we make it a minimum maintenance road, do we leave the gate or take it down?
Well, I think that'd be up to you all.
I think the citizens here are all for leaving it.
Okay. So. Okay. Well, then we need to kind of start from scratch. Because what we published was to degate. Of course, we could just
declare the minimum maintenance and.
I want notice on minimum maintenance, but in terms of gating it, you just don't pass it today.
Randy, is minimum maintenance road?
Yeah.
Is that okay with everybody making it a minimum?
Would you ask the township to send a request in?
To
they did.
Yeah, they ought to have
it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. In the alternative, that's good enough.
Can we get a clarification on what that means exactly?
Minimum maintenance?
Yeah.
I don't mean to be cute with you, but just kind of, you can't define it any better than that.
We've got to have some kind of definition in regards to how often it's got to be graded. Or,
nope.
I mean, minimum maintenance could be zero.
That's right.
Absolutely. It could be the discretion of the township, and once it's declared a minimum maintenance road, then they graded it at their discretion, basically. And if you have a board members that don't want to grade it, I mean, you know what happens to a deal like that?
I think it's pretty much minimum already. Maybe, what, twice they've had a grade in a year? Maybe twice? How much gravel?
Put somewhere like 2 years ago.
Put 30 loads on them.
2 years. But anyway, yeah, they ground it and it's gone. There's big holes and puddles in it and everything else. Right?
Is that a mile back in there or half a mile?
Mile and a half.
Mile and a half.
From the gate. It goes north a half a mile.
And then back west. But it's only gated on 121st. That doesn't go on through, does it?
No.
And there's quite a few big taxes paid by the people that are involved in that, too. It's just not.
So you guys want to leave it alone, or do you want to declare it a minimum maintenance road?
Maintenance of the road is not the issue from my, it's the gate that is the issue. Let's leave the gate.
What does that mean? There would be no maintenance if the township would say, "Hey, we got a real bad, you know, problem out there. We need a little bit of work done." Does that mean they can just say, "Well, we're not doing it"?
Yeah.
Well, I would think there could be some kind of definition for minimum maintenance. It's like, I mean, at least once a year graded, gravel when necessary, but I mean, why you put a definition there? Then?
I think it's like Mr. McCruiser said, you know, basically you can't explain it any better than that. It's the discretion of the people sitting on your township board, whether they want to grade it or not. This is my view as a citizen. If it was in Walnut Township where I live and they had a minimum maintenance road and I had something on there in the same situation in my township, I would definitely not, my personal self, not want it as a minimum maintenance road because of that. I read my tax deal every year of how much goes to my township. Personally, my view. So I'd say leave the road as is, end of story.
Every minimum maintenance road that I've gone out and looked at, there's nothing done.
There's big holes, washes on the sides of the road.
Yeah, I mean
it'll go to crap.
When the trucks drag. Belly of a four-wheel drive, right? When it gets
Well, your definition there just, I think, solidified that we don't want a minimum maintenance road there.
As a citizen, I wouldn't. I mean,
if there's not going to be some kind of definition or guideline as to it needs to be graded once or twice, gravel as needed or something.
Counselor, I looked up the KSA. I could read it if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Minimum maintenance road is a road that receives little or no routine maintenance and has been officially designated as such by the Board of Commission under KSA 68.5 and 102. Allows a certain road to be designated minimum maintenance road for various reasons. Generally, the road has been designated to have low traffic volumes, and the local township and maintenance jurisdiction has determined the road with higher traffic volumes to deserve more attention and resources.
And that road is used every day. I go there every day personally at least once.
The gate's open and you go in there? And
I go up deep. I unlock it. Go in and unlock it. Unless somebody's in there also.
The transport trucks, it's got to be maintained somehow. It's either because township and tax, and they pay a lot of taxes. The water boys pay a lot of taxes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd say it is a lot.
So it needs to be, in my opinion, left alone.
Thank you.
Well, I don't think we really have demanded that much, have we, Randy? As far as what?
No, not really. I mean, it's...
I see Randy's point of view. He's trying to cut money. I mean, okay, their townships don't never have enough money to do what they really want to do. You know, I mean, correct, Randy? I mean, you're just trying to save money. The 30 loads of gravel you put in there a couple years ago or whatever. I mean, I see that.
Well, it's also hard to grade that down at the minute in that country over there with the rock ledges and everything else. What do you think, Randy?
Well,
catch 22. Trying to help Andy and trying to keep these people happy. Just put the gate up, leave the gate up, and go with what's been going on, basically.
That's what I said.
So, how do we want to proceed? Do you want to make motion?
You don't have to
if
take
there's
any
no motion or second, you just don't take action.
Just don't take no action.
Well, it can be, I think we might be. If the consensus is to not ungate it, because that's a double negative, to leave it as is, I would say that we deny the request of the township.
I would do that. Mr. Chairman, I'd move to deny the request of the township, the ungating of minimum maintenance road.
Second. Been moved and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed.
Sorry.
Sorry, Randy. Thank you. I've never seen this before. I've gone to my township meetings and everybody yells at each other.
Yeah. I must be in the wrong township.
They're actually talking. Not yellow.
Number four, consider approval of K-Work voting delegates and vote for trustee nomination.
Chairman, I provided that to you before the meeting. This is an annual deal that we do for you all. At the KC meeting, there's a K-Works meeting, and you guys will traditionally in the past have chosen a primary and a secretary or a delegate and an alternate for that meeting. Just a footnote, the esteemed commissioner from District 1 is on that board and is vice chair, is that not correct?
Not this year.
Soon to be.
So we need to
move to set Mr. Vegley as delegate, and I guess, how do you do that? The vice chair? Since you're on the board, you want me to be
on the board. I don't know that I can do this. It's going to have to be you two guys.
Mr. Bob is the delegate, and I'll be the alternate. Can I do that?
Fix myself?
Can I vote on myself? How do you do that?
Probably all the perks that go with that office, Commissioner. I'd be a little nervous if they got out in public.
Second. Okay, been moved to second. Bob is delegate and Alan is alternate. All in favor, say aye.
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 That's the only thing we do all year, is go to that thing. She's gonna have to wheel me around the wheelchair.
Well, that's on top of it.
So you get with the senior citizen community.
That's right.
Okay, now do we also need a trustee?
Yeah, there's a form there on the trustee.
Yeah. We need to appoint a trustee, so Wayne could be the trustee. He's already a trustee. I move to appoint Wayne as the trustee. Okay, works.
Was that it? I'll second
it. It's not on there.
It's not on there.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Wayne is the trustee. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. The motion passed. Okay.
Chairman, on item five, when you get to it, I have one piece I'd like to add.
Okay, number five. Approval of payment register for period ending October 1st, 2019, check number 181427 to 181497, totaling $129,579.15, wire totaling $241,173.07, and direct deposits totaling $314,595.64. And checks number 812745 through 812749, totaling $2,681.12.
You had something there?
After you are done with this one, I have a correction on a previous one.
Okay. I'd move to approve payment claims as presented.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Lucas?
On the last meetings, payment register, everything was correct other than there was a mistype in the check numbers. I've asked Amy to create a new one, and I would ask if you guys would be interested in passing this one to replace the previous one, just so that we have proper record.
I'd move to amend the correction orders.
What was that, 17th?
On the 17th, 317, or 917,
mm-hmm.
On 917,
19. Second. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed.
This was the trustee thing, right? That they said that, so Wayne is, so this one needs to be signed as well.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys didn't see the last meeting agenda, meeting minutes, it's there in front of Wayne. You can share that. I can digitize it if you'd like.
Ben's not signing it.
It's busy time. He signs everything on the way back here.
Yeah, make sure.
Make sure we do our job.
Yeah. I forgot you got on that board.
Yeah. Okay. Number six, payment request. Scene one. Need to approve payment of claims as presented.
Sir.
Go ahead.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Other items come before the Board of County Commissioners. Karen?
Just three delinquent taxes that were in the claims register that will pay the taxes instead of going to them.
Anything else, Karen?
That's all I have.
Mark?
Nothing, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Lucas?
I provided an email, a copy of the charter. I'm not asking for any action today because the counselor hasn't had an opportunity to look at it, and you guys haven't either. But I provided a charter resolution. This is the position that I'm presenting to you based off the conversations I've had with bond counsel and I've had with financial counsel for the sales tax initiative. This is an ordinance or a home rule resolution or a charter that would represent something that's uniquely different or not consistent in state statutes, allowing you guys to do financing for repair of transportation infrastructure like roads and highways. Like I said, I sent it to you this morning. I wanted to just get it out there in front of you, let you guys see it. I would ask, obviously I'd like to present this to you on the 15th. From there, once it's approved, it goes through a public hearing process. And just like any other public hearing, will be published two times and everything else. But I wanted to get it in front of you so you guys could see it and make sure that's the direction you guys are wanting to go when we're talking about transportation infrastructure sales tax.
Anything else?
So Lucas, if I'm wrong, is this giving us the ability to go ahead and get these bonds without going to vote?
It's allocating the opportunity for you guys to get GO bonds for specific transportation, not just for anything.
Without it being voted on?
That's correct.
Up to 2% of assessed valuation?
That's correct.
They will pick the number and say we want.
And in that situation, basically, you're using levy dollars to replenish that expense, right? So
we'd have to budget those levy dollars into our money.
That's correct. But because it's for bridges, there is a statutory it allows you to be without of the lid and debt surplus or debt limit to be able to do that. So that not only does it allow you to go to GO bonds, but it goes to your GO bonds and carry that debt on your levy dollars without going to a vote for your budget. Does that make sense?
Is it allowing us to go to add that sales tax? Or are we talking about?
No, this is allowing.
This is adding property tax.
This is allowing you to get GO bonds and doing that with property tax. The reason why bond counsel and legal counsel are directing this this way is if you guys go to sales tax and there's an issue to where sales tax does not cover, for some reason, doesn't cover the expense, this sets the precedence to where you can go ahead and bail yourself out with levy funds. This is not, I don't want to have you have an expectation that we're trying not to do sales tax. This is setting and saying you're going to take, this is you saying we have to fix our roads and bridges. We have to get our infrastructure back together and we're going to do it. And this is one of the options. We can do it. We're going for sales tax if our sales tax doesn't fail.
And then the advantage, or one of the advantages, is that this generates a lot of cash in a hurry as opposed to sales tax, which would have to build up.
Right. So a geo bond.
The point is, if the sales tax doesn't pass, we eat this.
Yeah. You're going to pay. If you go, now this doesn't mean you have to go out for geo bonds before sales tax. It gives you the ability to. So you guys can say, we can go down this way, make sure we have the ability to fund it appropriately if we choose to. If you say, we're going to do it with a sales tax, we're not even going to initiate a geo bond obligation until we get a sales tax approved, then you're never on the hook for the money, okay? But what this is doing is saying, we do want to get our roads and bridges fixed, and we are going to fund dollars in some capacity. So again, no action today, but I know it's a hot topic, and it's something that is going to take some serious thought.
We'll converse on the 15th.
And so I'm hoping to bring it in front of you on the 15th for you to place a public hearing.
Makes sense. We don't have to use it. It just gives us the ability.
You don't have to do it. But what that means, though, is you're going to further prolong any opportunity. The other option would be go out for a sales tax vote. If it passes, then you start this program.
Right.
Versus, we're going out for a sales tax vote. We're going to fix our infrastructure. If we're going to fix our infrastructure, we're going to go ahead and get everything in line. When the sales tax approves, we're going to do it. If the sales tax doesn't approve, though, like the counselor said, you're using levy dollars to fund that GO bond, whatever GO bonds you go on for. Once you get, my hope would be, just give you my roadmap, once you guys decide on where you want to go with this, it's a common practice, doesn't mean we have to do it, but I've talked to them, I think there's four, and I'll get those names. So there's four counties that they've just recently done this in the last year with, too, on the same or very similar situations. Once you guys determine how you want to go, if this is a solution you want to go, the next step after public hearing or lack of public hearing is to allow me to provide a request bond counsel to come down and speak to you guys on the opportunities of sales tax. We've talked about this about a month ago. I do have some different options that we've talked to via GO bonds on a 15-year note, like you said, under a half-cent sales tax, like you requested, and just kind of talk to you about where that's at. Once you guys see that, I've also found some solutions of where we can help manage those capital improvement dollars effectively and transparently for the people to actually see what you guys are doing.
That's awesome.
So I've got the road started. I just need to find out which exit you guys want to hop off on.
Whoopsie. So sounds good.
Fun.
That's all I have.
Okay. And at this point, we'll go into executive session. It's discuss personnel matters for non-elected personnel. Pursuant to KSA 754319B-1. I move we recess into executive session with the county administrator and the county counselor to discuss personnel matters and not elected personnel pursuant to KSA 75-4319B1. We will reconvene the open meeting in this room and first floor assembly room at, what we need, 20 minutes?
You think 20?
20 will be fine. Well, it should be done in 20.
Okay. 20 minutes reconvene at
10 after.
10 after 10.
Second.
Then moving second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye.